And I want to speak to you this morning on a subject that is dear to my heart, but also a subject that I hope and I believe that you're going to take hold of today. The entitlement of this message is, What is in Your Hand? What is in your hand? I'll be using a lot of scripture today, and I want you to pay attention how it woven together by the Word of God, it brings us to a place of the understanding that we have such opportunity with the Lord. Such great opportunity. Question again is, what is in your hand? I want you to think about that. What is in your hand? The scripture we'll be using is found in Exodus chapter 4. Moses answered and said, But suppose they will not believe me or listen to my voice. Suppose they say, The Lord has not appeared to you. So the Lord said to him, What is that in your hand? What is that in your hand? And he said, A rod. A rod. How amazing that is. What is that in your hand? Or a staff. He had something in his hand that God could turn over to him. Something in his hand that God would use. And he did. He told him to throw it down on the ground. The story goes further. To throw it down on the ground, and it became a snake. And Moses freaked out a little bit. Anybody would. And then God told him to pick it up by the tail. Moses freaked out a little bit, but he obeyed God, who was speaking from a bush that was not burning up, but was burning, the voice of the Lord. He picked it up and it became whole again. So with that in mind, we have to realize that there is something that God can do. Now, if I don't say anything else this morning, for some reason, if I just stop preaching and go sit down and we just go into fellowship hall and have fellowship, listen to these next few words. God can take anything that you have in your hand. If you surrender it to him, he can make it great. Doesn't have to be big. Doesn't have to be large. Doesn't have to be something that anybody else would want. You know, it was just something that you surrendered to God. That you gave to God. And with that in your mind, you knew that God was going to do something with it. Now, Moses didn't understand what that was, what was going to happen, you know. Why was he asking him? I'm sure he probably said, Why is he asking me what I have in my hand? He sees that already. He was trying to show him that what we surrender to him, he can make great. And if you study out the whole ministry of Moses, he used his staff or rod through his whole ministry there. It's the same rod that he held up in Exodus 14 as they crossed the Red Sea. He held up the rod. After coming out of prayer, where God said to him, Why are you praying to me? In other words, that's a unique thing how God answered. It was like Elijah answered the widow woman whose boys were coming to take her boys to use in slavery till her debt was paid because her husband, who was one of Elijah's prophets from his school, died. And so all of a sudden, she comes to him with a real task, something that's really important. And he says, Well, what do you want me to do? I mean, what a question that is. I mean, you know, you put that yourself in a position of leadership and somebody in really great need comes to you and they look at you and say, Well, what do you want me to do? You know, the person that just heard that is going, Whoa, wrong person to ask this. But he caught himself and he told her what to do, and a miracle came. And what she had in her hand that God made great was a little vessel full of oil. And God made that great. So he comes from that prayer meeting on a rock and he stands up there and he lifts the rod up. Because God said to him, Go forward. So even in our most difficult times, what we do is instead of wanting to do what God says, we want to sit down on the shore. Or we want God to appear and do this fabulous miracle for us as we sit there and expect God to entertain us through miracles. And really what God is saying is, if you'll just surrender what's in your hand to me, I will do something mighty in your midst. I will bring something beautiful into your midst. You see, surrender is the key to success in 1 Kings 17:11-12. And as she was going to get it, he called to her and said, "Please bring me a morsel of bread in your hand." Now what's going on there is God sends Elijah to this place after he's been by a river. Ravens have been feeding him. The water's been there for him to drink, and it dries up, and the ravens aren't bringing meat anymore. So God sends him to this woman in another country. And when he told him, "I've prepared a woman to help you when you get there." When he shows up and starts the discussion with her, she says, I'm not doing anything. And he says, "Give me the bread that's in your hand." He is prophesying to her. She doesn't even have any bread in her hand yet. But he realizes that if she surrenders the bread that's in her hand, miracles would come to her family. You see, you may not see what you have, but God sees something in your hand already. And God wants you to surrender what that is. And literally, she does that. So she said, "As the Lord your God lives, I do not have bread." There's a little debate going on now. See, sometimes we want to debate with what God is saying for us to do. He sees the bread, she doesn't see the bread. So let's talk about this. I've seen this throughout the church for years. Let's do this. We got this over here. We don't see anything over there yet, Pastor. We have to understand that God has got something for us to do. We have to have faith to believe God will supply for us that we can do what He's called us to do.
Amen.
We have to understand that there's a King that sees everything. We don't see everything. We have to believe that He sees everything. We have to have a hope that He will bring everything to pass. We have to have a deep faith in God, not in ourselves, that He will bring something to our life that's going to be miraculous if we will just surrender to Him. And he goes on to say this to her, "I don't have, and only a handful of flour and bin and a little oil a jar, and see, I am gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die." She was ready to die. She was done. She gave up. He sends a prophet by to go to somebody to feed him. So the two are meeting together. He's hungry. He had supposedly, which he already did, prepared her for this, but he didn't prepare her by talking to her. He had already prepared her to be prepared for a miracle. You see, God has already prepared you to be prepared for what He wants to do in your life. Are you with me? God is wanting to do something strong in your life, individually, corporately, in partnership with God. He wants to do something that's absolutely awesome in your life. I've talked to missionaries before that are going on the mission field, and I said, "Well, what do you think?" He said, "I don't know. God's calling me to the mission field, and I don't feel prepared for that. I don't feel like I have anything to really offer." I don't. One of the missionaries that I knew went over to Romania to speak, and everybody spoke the Romanian language. She had no one to translate for her. She went over there, and she was in Tigasuara over there, and she was there to bring revival to this community of Romanians that just came into the Church of God from a miracle that happened, that a missionary earlier than that went up to a lead pastor's home where he was a Baptist, and he opened the door and he said, "I'm from the Church of God. We're starting a bunch of works over here. Would you like to join us?" He said, "I'm Baptist. I can't." And he had a goiter on his neck that was as big as a softball. And the missionary said, "I'm going to pray for you that goiter goes away and disappear. And he said, okay, you pray for me and come back in 3 days. And if it's gone, I'm going to bring every Baptist ministry into the Romanian church. He came back in 3 days. There was no goiter and no evidence of a goiter there. And they all came in. Well, she is there. Now, that was a preparation period. You know, that's where you all of a sudden God brings you to a place where a miracle has to happen for something that you want to have. And so literally, she goes over there and there's no one to translate. Now listen, she's from the south. She's got a southern accent. So she's over there. She's going to preach a revival all over Romania. And there's a little boy there, 13 years old, never went to school for English, doesn't speak any English. And he tells his mother in Romania, I would love to be the one that translates for her. She tells him back in Romanian, you don't speak English. He said, I would love to translate for her. Maybe I could. She tells her in a broken English that he can and wants to translate, but he doesn't know the language. She goes up, lays her hands on him, and speaks that into his life, and instantaneously he knows the whole English language with a southern dialect. Why do I know that? Because he was my translator in Romania, and he told me the story. And yes, when I was preaching, he had a southern dialect. The best translator I've ever had in my entire life. When I would say, start to speak, he would already begin to speak what I was saying as though he was reading my spirit. You see, God prepares us for miracles when we give to him what we have in our hand where it doesn't look like anything can happen. Amen. If we just trust him. If we just understand that what he wants to do. And she made the bread. She gave him the bread. They ate the bread and no one died. Amen. Just a little morsel of bread. If we give the bread, if we surrender what we have to God, no matter what it is, even if it's the last bit of food, if you give it to him and you do what he has told you to do with it, and you do that, she had bread and oil and grain and everything in her cupboards for her whole life. We are so close sometimes to God in such a way in our life that we would just do something that God asks us to do, but our faith is so small. We don't really think that we could ever do anything like that. But if we would just surrender, the key to your success is in your surrender. It's not in your argument. It's not in your debate. It's not in how you see yourself. God sees you different than you see yourself in a mirror. God saw me different before I was a Christian. Saw me totally different. My life was prophesied over by Kathy's mother when Kathy was 16 and she was in a prayer meeting in Maryland and they declared to her, don't worry about your daughter. She's going to marry a pastor. She meets me. I'm as far from a pastor as you can get. As far as you can get. If I got any further, I would have stepped into hell. Matter of fact, we went to Florida. We visited Pastor Louie and Pastor Theta down there in Florida. We were as far from going to church as you can get. As a matter of fact, church wasn't in our vocabulary. But she spoke that into my wife's life. And Kathy laughed. We were down there and they invited us over to their home. And they had planted a Church of God pastor there. And when we went in to speak with him, we made fun of him. We joked with him. We laughed when he told us about all the stuff that could happen. And we laughed and made fun of him. We got up and left him. We didn't say goodbye. We were so rebellious. Now look at us. You see, what God says if you'll believe. And she never stopped believing when she surrendered Kathy over to the Lord in that prayer meeting. Look what God did.
Amen.
Sometimes you got to wait on your miracle, but it's coming. You got to trust God. It may not be right now, but it's in the distant. It's coming. It's like the rain that was seen up in the cloud, like the size of a man's hand, by the servant of Elijah. He said, go back up there. On the seventh time he went up there and he said, what do you see? He says, I see rain. After 7 years of a drought, I see rain the size of a man's head. Look, I want all of you to look into your future. What do you see? If you feel dry now, God may be bringing rain into your life. If you feel unused, God may be bringing something powerful into your life. Don't give up. Just surrender all that you have to God. Because He wants to bless you. His desire is to bless you. You know, if you go over to Acts chapter 3, let me tell you a story there. The scriptures will be up on the screen and you can read along with me, or you can read them as I tell the story. But you see, Peter and John was the one that Jesus really hung out with a lot, and Peter was the one that gave Jesus a lot of trouble. So there's two opposite ends of the spectrum there. The guy he hung out with, the guy who gave him all the trouble could anybody give Jesus, he was giving Jesus trouble. But he was so sold out to God, Peter was the only one. You see, when Jesus came walking on the waves, Peter was the only one that had enough courage while he was still in the boat to make a decision to walk out onto the water. The other 11 were freaking out in the back of the boat. You see, we should be more like that. We should have the courage like Peter had to walk out on what Jesus said. Walk out to a miracle. Walk to the place of a miracle. Understand what Jesus is and who He is and what He wants to do with our life. But they're on the way to the temple now. That miracle happened. They got registers of miracles that they saw. In their mind, they got pictures of what happened. And they walked to the temple, and as they do, they were going to temple. That's what they did. Not like today's people that, you know, they went to church. And they're walking along there, and all of a sudden there's a beggar there who's been there for years. Wasn't his first rally, wasn't his first place, wasn't his first rodeo. He wasn't there for the first time. He didn't hear that was a good spot. So, you know, a lot of homeless people today, they find out where the good spot is and they hope the person who owns that spot doesn't show up to the good spot, because when that happens, there's a fight. So he goes there and they're going there and he's walking in and they catch each other. God had prepared this from the beginning of time. They caught each other's glance and he was waiting for them to say, here's some money. I feel so bad for you. Or I'm going to make myself feel good. I've got a couple dollars in my pocket. I haven't felt good for a long time. I haven't given to anybody for a long time. I'm just going to give to you because this is make me feel good. That's how they thought. They didn't think that way. Peter said, silver and gold, I don't have any money to give you. In other words, I don't have silver, I don't have gold, but what I do have is for you to rise in the name of Jesus and be healed. What Peter had in his hand was healing. I believe there's people in this congregation that has healing in their hands. I believe there's people that are watching this on Facebook Live that has healing in their hands. And God is just waiting for you to be able to lay hands on someone. And what he did is he took that beggar's hand and he lifted him up. And when he lifted him up, he began to dance. He began to shout. The Bible declares that he danced all the way into the temple. And the people were so amazed they couldn't believe it was him. You see, the type of miracles that God wants to do when we surrender our stuff to him is that where people see it and they can't believe it. They can't believe it. Is that the guy? Is that the guy? I prophesied into a woman's life years ago. She had been ill. I prayed for her, and a miracle happened to her where they didn't have to do a surgery because her basilar artery was clogged. And if they did the surgery, she may die. A great percentage of death comes from that surgery. We prayed the day before. I didn't pray in any like altar. I wasn't in some big cathedral. I was in the front of a car, in front of a high school, in a city that Kathy and I were pastoring at. And I got the phone call from the husband, and he's freaking out. He said, "Pastor, I know you're a man of faith. Would you pray? And I'll agree with you." And I said, "Sure, let's just say a prayer." And I said, "God, reach across the heavens, take your index finger, put it right on her basilar artery, and dissolve whatever's there." And that was it. A very simple prayer. And then my daughter Erin came out from the school. We got in the car, went home, and I didn't think anything more about it. I get a phone call the next day. They went in to do the scan to make sure where they were going to cut because it's such a dangerous surgery. There was nothing there.
Amen.
You see, healing in a prayer. Faith in words. Surrendering that to God. Knowing that God's the only one that can do it. Well, she got healed. They came to the church. They were already going to the church. And she came in. She was happy. It was great. It was documented on CBN. It was great. It was all there. There was interviews, the whole thing. The only thing I asked them to do is don't put my name in it. They did it all. Then all of a sudden, I call her to the altar one afternoon in a service, and I said, "The Lord is going to have you to dance before Him in the Spirit." She got angry. She told her husband, "I don't want to go to this church anymore. I'm not going to be dancing before the Lord. I'm not going to do that." Well, I didn't know that part of it happened. Well, then I find out that he had passed through cancer. And she got sick to where half her body was paralyzed. So I'm thinking, okay, there goes my prophetic word. I just forgot about it. They were great supporters of the church. She was an elder. Everything was beautiful. Everything was good. But because of that prayer, it got ugly. She called me 3 years ago. "Hi, this is me. Do you remember me? I'm the one that you prophesied in that I would dance before the Lord, and I've been crippled for years. I want you to know that I dance every Sunday before the Lord. I have to go in the wheelchair, and all of a sudden the Lord touches my body, and I'm up and I'm dancing all over the front of the church. I'm dancing before the Lord during worship, and then all of a sudden I begin to feel weak, and I get to my wheelchair, and I can't dance anymore." You see, there's when you release your faith, when you release what's in your hand, your faith is in your hand. Your hand is describing that there's an action. When you release that, what God can do maybe years later, but God will always do it. They couldn't believe it. See, Peter released healing. He released faith. He released the things that were there that needed to be done. You know, let's go over to Mark chapter 3, verses 4 through 5. There's Jesus. He's in the temple. Now, how many of you understand that Jesus always went to church? No matter what is going on in life, Jesus was in church. As a matter of fact, he is our husband. We're his bride. The husband better be visiting his bride. It's going to have to happen. He's always in church. He's always in the temple. He's there. And there is a lame man that his arm is twisted. And it cannot be used. And he sees this. And he thought, "What am I going to do? Everybody is going to get angry at me." Now hear me now. Listen to me spiritually, please. "What am I going to do? Everybody's going to get angry at me if I heal this man. It's the Sabbath. And if you knew the law, you can't do anything on the Sabbath. But Jesus explained to them, you know what? You can. He said, how many of you, if your donkey fell in a pit, would not go down and save that donkey? And here's a man that needs healing. He's in the Sabbath. He says, stretch out your hand. And he stretched it out. You see, here's a man that could not use a hand, but he had something in his hand. He had a faith that God would heal his hand. And he stretched it out, and immediately his hand was made whole. One of our great evangelists, T.L. Lowry, was preaching in our Salinas Church of God years ago. Years ago. Pastor Craig Green was there. Years ago. And the baby's arm was rolled up all the way up to the shoulder. She was born like that. And T.L. Lowry came up and put his hand on the baby's arm and said, in the name of Jesus, I command this arm to be made whole. And Craig told me, he said he just stood there and watched this arm roll out and become whole right in front of him. He said it was just, he didn't know what to do. He didn't know what to say. He saw the baby's arm just roll out and become whole. What I'm saying is, Brother Lowry released what he had in his hand, faith, to a baby that did not have the use of her hand, but yet when she received that faith, unknowing because she was a baby, her hand came out. The same thing happened. He was preaching at a Fresno camp meeting, and he called a family up. I won't mention their names. They're great friends of ours, but I don't have permission to mention their names. But literally called them out. She could not have a baby, and Brother Lowry didn't know that. She could not have children, medically proven. Called her up and said, in the name of Jesus, you're going to have a child on this date next year. They received the prophecy because it was Dr. Lowry, a well-known evangelist that God used in the miraculous ways. They couldn't have a baby, so they went home and believed God by faith. The next day, a year later, it was the next day that she was supposed to have a baby, and they didn't know what was going to happen. They laughed as well. I'm not pregnant. I'm certainly not going to have a baby in a day. There was a knock on their door the next day, and a girl had given birth to a child that she could not keep, did not want to put them in the system, and knew who they were. They were great Christians, pastoring a church. And she came through another one of our friends who knew that girl. And on that day, she had a baby. You see, your miracle may not come exactly what you think it's going to look like or how it's going to portray itself, but it'll be there if you have faith. If you trust God and you realize surrender, even in your mind, you've got to surrender the negative thoughts. This could never happen. Not in my life. This could never happen. No way. It may be so insurmountable that it's so big. There's no way I can cross that mountain. There's no way I can see the other side of that river. There's no way I can cross that ocean. There's no way I'll get through this dark valley. There's no way I can get through this emotional trauma that I'm in. It'll never happen. But if you surrender those, it'll never happen to God. He'll make it happen. He'll bring it to pass. He'll make it whole. What looks impossible is not impossible to God. But we've got to learn what is in our hand to surrender it. You see, we hold the key to surrender. We hold the key to faith. We hold the key to belief. We hold the key that God can do something wonderful. I mean, I would have loved to have been there the day the Romanian evangelist laid her hands on that 13-year teenage boy. I heard the story. I didn't hear this 25 people later. He was my translator again. And I talked to him. I said, how do you have a southern accent? And he told me the story, and it was verified. A woman looked at me and said, "This is very true, what he just told you. He talks like he's from North Carolina. He's never even been to the United States." She was from North Carolina. God has a great sense of humor. I laughed. I said, "It would have been really cool if he would have given you a New York accent from the Bronx." But he knew the English language perfectly. Perfectly. Never a question. Now, there are great translators. Don't misunderstand me. Great translators. But sometimes the preacher's preaching too fast or teaching too fast. And the translator is like trying to grasp a word that they can use, because sometimes preachers or teachers use words that don't make any sense to people. Like every once in a while, I'll make up a word and you don't even know it, but it's, you know, I mean, they don't have a translating for that. This guy did it all. Incredible. So let me close on this one scripture, because I really believe this has helped you. John chapter 6, verses 8 through 10. Very famous scripture. Everybody knows this scripture. About all those people that were following. You know how many people follow Jesus? You know, Jesus went into a town. He was that church planner that you wanted on your team. He'd just go into a town and 1,000 people would show up. 5,000 people showed up that day. Actually, that was just the men they were talking about. With the women and children, they averaged it out. In all my studies, the average came out to be 23,000 people were there. 23,000 people came to hear him speak. I know we get a big kick out of all these churches in the Bay Area that are running 25,000 and across the nation and down in Texas and all that 25,000 people. Let me tell you, Jesus did not need anybody to support him when he walked into a town. He didn't call ahead and have it ready. He just walked into a town and people heard the Son of David was going to be there, and people showed up, and he was speaking that day. Miraculously, 25,000 people were hearing him speak without a sound equipment. And then it was time for lunch, and there was no lunch. And his disciples had nothing in their hand. So in other words, they didn't have faith. They didn't have trust that Jesus could make this happen. Their only thing that they had in their hand was a statement: "Send them home. We do not have enough to feed them." You see, we have to look through the eyes of what Jesus sees, what he really sees. He saw 23,000 hungry people. He knew if he had something small, he could make it great. And there was a lad, just a boy over there. I don't know. I've heard stories that he was on his way to his friend's house. You know, people want to do all this stuff. There is no biblical process where he was going. We don't know what town he was from. But we do know that he had loaves and fishes with him. Certainly not enough to feed 23,000 people. Jesus, by faith, said, "Have those people sit down in 50s. Have them sit down." Now, I know the disciples were talking at that point. I know they were like saying, "Get ready, man. This is going to be great. You know, we're going to have manna from heaven. Something God's going to open up heaven. This is going to be amazing. We're going to see the biggest thing in the world, because Jesus just sat them down. He's ready. And what are we going to? Let's just stand by him, because you know what? The angels are going to come to be the waiters too. This is going to be awesome. This is going to be great." And of course, they said, "We only have enough denarii to feed us. We don't have enough denarii to feed them. Ours is only going to last a little while, the money we have. What are we going to do?" And he said, "Bring the lad's lunch to me." You see, sometimes you think you have to have great things to do great things. Sometimes you have to think you have to have the highest education to speak to educators. Sometimes you think you have to live in the right neighborhood to get into the right neighborhood. Sometimes you have to think all these thoughts, in other words, to manipulate how God really does things. God does things in the miraculous. And he wants us to witness this. And those loaves and fishes fed all those people, and there was leftovers. He always does things in such an abundance that there's leftovers for you to just thank him for. The little lunch that he had in his hand. What little things going on in your life right now that you could just surrender to him today? That little thing. The little prayer. The little thought that you think in your mind that, you know, God could never do anything. You know, I understand what prayer is. I really do, and you know that. And I know that people pray sometimes, and they come to that place in their life where they want to pray, and it's so small they don't want to bug God about it. Because they want to pray these faith prayers. God, I want to take over that city, and I want to have a building that sits 20,000 people, and I'm dreaming to do it, and I want it by next week. Hallelujah. Big prayers, big dreams, big hopes. Big car, big house, big education, all that. Nothing wrong with anything I just said. But don't miss the little thing that God can do for you. Don't think because men or people or persons come into your life and they mess it up somehow. You don't get enough money somehow. You don't have enough support somehow. All this stuff happens and you just don't have it together. And then all of a sudden you let that hope die. You actually have a funeral in your mind about it. You know, you go through a day of like depression. I'm bummed. It's all over. Somebody calls you and said, how's your dream doing? What are you doing? It became a nightmare. I'm not doing it anymore. I got a new thing happening. Don't. The little thing that God can do for you. Don't ever give up. But be willing to give up what you have in surrender to Jesus. And watch what he can do. And literally, what's in your hand? What is in your hand today? What's there that you could give to Jesus Christ today? What small thing? What dream? What area that was touched on today that... I mean, you may have a healing that you need, and you could surrender that to God. You may be having the ability to reach out and touch someone and pray a healing prayer, and they are healed. You may have a staff, something that seems mediocre. It's all I got. Why is God asking me about a staff? I mean, he's got a bush burning and it's not burning up. Why is he worried about my staff? He's probably going to throw it in there. It's going to burn up. He's going to show me that he can burn that up. No. God wanted to show him what little he had. God could make something great out of it. So today, I want you to just kind of look into your heart. You can take this message and you can ride with it and say, great message, you know, whatever. Doesn't mean anything to me. But I know that God had me to preach this today. I know that there's something in there for everyone. I know that what God has for you, he has for everyone in the kingdom of God. I know that God has for everyone in the church of God. I know God has something for everyone in the California, Nevada churches of God. I know that God has something for everyone in every district in the California churches of God. I know that God has something for everyone in every individual church of God or in Iglesia de Dios in California, Nevada. I know that. It's clear in the scripture. God is no respecter of persons. And he wants you to have your miracle. He wants you to surrender that staff. Surrender that faith before him. To trust him. And to move in faith. Because God wants to do something miraculous for your life. That others can see it. And they will be changed.